This is how the birth of Jesus came about. It's from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 18 through to 25. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. On the Friday night, I had the pleasure to be at the what's called the Wonderful, F-U-L-L in capitals, Christmas celebration at Playford Uniting Church, out at Playford or Manopara. And I was there to conduct the fireworks display as a part of the celebration. Someone's got to do it. Suffering for the Lord. But part of the night, there were a number of excellent stage performances from the folks of Playford Uniting Church, very talented group, but also a new congregation in the area called Golgotha Uniting Church. And this is a congregation that's just been established in the last year, and it is a congregation of multinational African folks who live in that part of town. And this congregation has been established, and there's a partnership now with Playford and the new African multinational congregation is thriving, and so is Playford, and they're doing some wonderful things together. And anyway, both groups were part of the presentation and the celebration and the performances on Friday night. And that was just a glimpse, a window of the fact that Christmas is an event to be praised by all the nations. It's just a tiny glimmer of it, and a wonderful glimmer. But suggesting that Christmas is one of the most important events in human history. And so there's a bunch of important questions there for us. You know, why is it so important? What is so important about it? And how, for us as a congregation and as a part of multi-ethnic, multicultural Australia, how do we get hold of this thing that is the most important, an important thing, a crucial thing for history and for all people? We must see it, and we must not miss it. And so to seek to do that this morning, we're going to look firstly at what Christmas isn't, and secondly what it is, and thirdly what it does. So firstly, what Christmas isn't. There's a popular Christmas song that has the words in it, "Christmas is a feeling in your heart. Christmas is a feeling in your heart. Now, we all have many feelings about Christmas and about celebrating Christmas, a whole range of different feelings, and that's all okay, and they're good in themselves. And the Bible itself records a whole range of feelings that people have around the events of Christmas. We're reading Matthew's account this morning from Matthew 1. If we were to read Luke's account in Luke 1, we would see that's focused around Mary and her experience. And in that part of the story, it talks about Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth. They get the message from the angel that John the Baptist is going to be born. He will be connected with this other very important figure who's going to come. And then Mary receives the message from the angel that she's miraculously going to give birth to a child who's going to be special in ways she can hardly begin to take in. And Mary and Elizabeth get together. You know, they're cousins. They're both pregnant. They've had these amazing things happen to them. And they're talking all about this and sharing about it and the wonder and joy of it. And Mary and Elizabeth go into sort of transports of delight. And Mary sings her wonderful hymn of praise, the Magnificat, you know. And it's kind of like it's the all-singing, all-dancing version of the Christmas story. And then we read from Matthew 1, which centres around Joseph, and it's much more matter-of-fact and circumspect. It's no songs that we're told of there. And I don't know, I kind of think like a couple of reserved Aussie blokes talking about the Christmas story, you know? Mick and Dave. Hey, Mick. What happened to you the other day? Oh, an angel appeared, told me Mary's going to conceive a child miraculously, going to be very special. God with us, apparently. Oh, really? Okay, that's interesting. I kind of get this idea of this contrast between maybe a chick flick version, Mary and Elizabeth and co, and then the Aussie blokes version, much more restrained, unemotional. So there's a whole range of feelings and responses around the events of Christmas. But is Christmas only what we feel it is? Is it only a feeling? And if we approach it that way, does that work? But the problem with feelings is that they go up, down and all over the place. People can feel terrible at Christmas time for all sorts of reasons. Often you meet family members that you only see at Christmas time. There can be a good reason you only see them at Christmas time. But very seriously, there are other reasons. We've talked about the Blue Christmas service. People have very serious and significant reasons why they don't feel wonderful or even feel terrible at Christmas. And so feelings can be different and change. So is the event of Christmas good or bad, or is it other? Well, if it's just a feeling, then it just depends on how I feel. And so I remember going from my experience as a child of being, I was into decorations and trees and all the kind of, you know, childhood joy of Christmas that lots of us would have experienced and still experience. Then I became a minister, and it's just getting tied up in the work, that there is quite a bit of work at Christmas, and you can get consumed with that, and the childhood joyful experience can drift and fade. Now, it's not completely absent, but it can fade. The emphasis changes. So does that mean, is Christmas less good or joyous because my feelings might be rated lower than, you know, that childhood joy and exuberance? If Christmas is just a feeling, you know, is it a good and a joyous event, or is it something else? If it's just a feeling, then it's going to be up, down, or all over the place with our feelings. So is Christmas good news of great joy? Don't know. Depends how I feel this morning, if it's just a feeling. But the second problem with feeling is not just that they change and go all up and down all over the place. They, like us, will die. One day, our feelings will end, and so no matter how good or joyous those feelings are now, when they end, they're not going to guarantee any good or joy to us then, are they? And so if God and his truth and the truth of Christmas are no bigger than our thoughts and our feelings, then they don't guarantee anything to us that is eternal or lasting or solid. But if Christmas is good news of great joy to all people and for all time, then it must be much, much more than just a feeling. So firstly, what Christmas isn't, it isn't just a feeling in our heart. It will result in such feelings, but the reality of Christmas itself must be much, much more and bigger than just feelings. So what Christmas is? Well, the essential definition that we're given in our reading today from Matthew 1 is in that amazing Hebrew name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Who? Which God? Well, we're talking about the God of the Hebrew Scriptures, and that God is the creator and the redeemer of everything. So he was before creation and redemption. And so he is bigger than creation and redemption. He's bigger than all things. And he will be there after them. He'll be eternal. So that means he's always also much, much bigger than just our feelings. And this is the God who is known to us through the prophets in the Old and New Testament. And he's the creator and redeemer God, always speaking to us from outside of our world and our lives and our feelings. And he comes and he speaks into it and he intersects. Sometimes he interrupts. And this God from outside our world and our feelings has been called in the history of the Christian church at times holy other than us. God is wholly other. What that means is he's as different from us as it could be possible to be different. And so if that God, who is completely other than us, comes to us and speaks to us, he's the creator and redeemer of all, then we would want to listen to him and take notice. Because, you know, he could have something to say to us that might completely turn our world upside down. Maybe in an unpleasant way, if the way we think and feel about it is wrong. But then, if he's the God who might feel completely the opposite to what our feelings are, who might be completely opposite to that, that means if we are in face of feelings of negativity and hopelessness, that life is going nowhere, what if he came and spoke to us eternal goodness and hope? That's not just dependent on our feelings. It's dependent on his eternal self and reality and world. Then we would sure want to be listening to that. Or think of this. What if from his eternal world, he is showing us away from our mortal world to his eternal world, to take us to be a part of that? Man, we would be listening then. We would want to take notice. So that's the God that we're talking about here. He's the creator. He's the redeemer. So what about him? Well, he's with us. What does that mean? Well, from both Christmas stories, Luke and Matthew. He's born of Mary. So that means he's flesh and blood, like Mary and like you and like me. He's a part of our world order, just like we are. So he experiences all the good, the bad, and the ugly, just as we do. And so what that means is he relates absolutely to us and to our world and everything that we're going through. He knows it from the inside. He entered into that. He became a part of that because he's Mary's son. Yet, that's only part of the story. The other part, focus of Matthew's reading, is that he is not by Joseph. He is from Mary. He is not from Joseph. But as Joseph is told, he has been conceived by the Holy Spirit, God. And what that means is that he is just who the angel tells Joseph he's going to be, Emmanuel, God himself. So he is 100% God, become at the same time 100% us. In him, God and heaven and earth and us are fused in one. And so what that means for us and for our world is that God shows up. See, this real God who is the creator and redeemer of all things, God shows up. The eternal God steps on our turf. The turf of our world, the turf of our lives. God enters into it. And so what that means is that there is no such thing as separate religious spheres and secular spheres. There's not a secular sphere where God isn't. It's all Jesus' turf. And so as Psalm 139 tells us, where can I go to escape? Nowhere. You can't escape from him. Wherever you go, whatever turf you find to be standing on, he's there. He's claimed it as his. And so what that means is, smack, God face to face. God is in our faces. God confronts us. And if God does that, this God who's the creator and redeemer of everything, that reorders our lives. It reorders our world from the ground up. Sometimes on Thursday nights where Catherine has a Bible study she's involved with and I have one that I'm involved with, and she gets home at the end of the evening, and I say to her, often pretty casually, oh, how was Bible study tonight? And sometimes she says, God showed up. God showed up. And what that means is that I need to sit down and talk, because it usually is going to involve how God that night turned them inside out and upside down. Maybe it was a little painful. But also at the same time, it was so, so, so good. You see, that's what Christmas is about. God, smack, face to face with us, in our faces. And we need to reckon with Christmas. Because of Christmas, our world and our lives can never be the same again. We must reckon with God showing up on our doorstep. So what Christmas isn't, it isn't just a feeling. What it is, it's the Almighty God come face to face with us. Thirdly, what it does, well, the angel says to Joseph, you're to call him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And this is where the cliche must be smashed. Because sometimes saved from sins has become within the Christian faith just a cliche, just a religious cliche. And people can think, oh, salvation from sins, that's a kind of, you know, a narrow religious thing that doesn't have much to do with a lot of life. Well, no, it is to do with the down-to-earth, everyday lives of every person on the planet. All of us struggle. All of us have weaknesses and failures. Even if we try to cover them up from ourselves, they're still there. We all constantly measure ourselves and others by all sorts of standards that we have in our heads. But behind those standards, whether we recognise it or not, is God our Father's plan. And the question, do we live in that or against it? And these struggles affect how we think and feel about ourselves, whether we are down on ourselves and get around with lowered heads, or whether we are positive about our position in life with raised heads. And that affects how we experience day-to-day work, leisure, the future, everything. It affects how we relate to every other person. Whether in talking to people from day to day, we put on a mask and pretend to be better than we are, or we feel compelled to have to be making up for what we believe are our shortcomings all the time. Or, by contrast, whether we can relate to others freely, not being compelled to have to please people all the time. So do you see, behind what we can wrongly think is maybe just a cliche, salvation from sin, we're talking about the reality that permeates and affects life, the universe and everything. Affects all our relationships, all our experiences. And honestly, we struggle with managing this. We're never done with trying to manage it successfully, never free. We constantly struggle moving between positive and negative feelings. Sometimes we feel downright hopeless trying to manage that whole situation. And our feelings, however positive we make them, can never liberate us from that endless cycle that we're stuck in. That can only change if something other, something bigger than us and our feelings, bigger than our failures and our sins, outside of us, comes and does something to take our failures, our sins away, to save us from them. I remember once in a previous church talking to a particular elderly lady, wonderful member of the congregation, had been for many years, and talking to her one day about death, and asked her at one point, well, what do you believe is going to happen then at that point where you die? And she said to me, I know my sin is going to be always before me. And you see, she was saying, that's where I feel stuck. And that's where all of us are stuck if something didn't happen to take us out of that situation, to save us from it. And Christmas says, this is what God has done. He is bigger than our feelings, our sins. He has come into our world, our lives, born as one of us. He's gotten inside of us, inside of our sins, inside of our stuck world, Jesus Christ. And he has acted through his death on the cross to pay for, to undo, to forgive our failures, our sins, to heal us forever. Only God stepping on our turf can do that. And he has. Just in finishing, That is breathtaking if we really see what it is. But it's still only the half of it, and it's kind of the lesser half. You see, salvation is only in part what we're saved from. It's also and much more about what we're saved into. It saves us from what we are bound to in a kind of slavery, but it saves us into a new life of freedom. And then it opens a new way of life up to us, a life of forgiveness, of openness, of honesty, of peace. Hope to start to grow and for greater closeness and intimacy in relationships, marriages, families, friendships. This can revolutionise whole societies. And Michael Masale from Kenya was telling us about that. He was just 2 or 3 weeks ago. He spoke about, he saw the effect of the gospel on the lives of children and adults going through the education system, and God gave him a call to be injecting the gospel into education systems in a way that's going to affect the whole nation. And that's actually what God plans to do with every nation on earth. God's at work to bring out of every nation on earth his people, who will come to know him and love him and live within his kingdom. It's back to where we started today, Playford Uniting Church at Manopara, Golgotha Uniting Church, African multinational congregation worshipping in the same place, all nations of the earth praising the God of Christmas for the greatest event in history. God's purpose for all families on earth, God's purpose for all the families scattered across the Golden Grove community, God's purpose for all of our families and our neighbours. And so just want to finish by encouraging us to get hold of that most important truth for the nations of the earth, most important truth for us and for our families, our neighbours. Get hold of it and tell it out to them this Christmas. Amen.